I invite you to take your copies of God's Word and turn with me to 1 John. The first epistle of John, we'll be looking at chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 this morning. 1 John, chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Hear this, the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and all-sufficient Word. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Let us pray. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. It was 2 a.m. in the morning. My friends and I had been driving for 3 solid hours from my college town in Starkville, Mississippi, to Holly Springs, Mississippi, which is somewhat close to Memphis. We drove up to the front porch of this pink house, which was gaudy and in shambles. It was ugly, and we decided that we would get out of the car and walk straight up to the door and knock, because we knew that the sole inhabitant of this house would come out to greet us. Sure enough, after hearing some rustling and some walking, out comes Paul McLeod. He took $5 from each of us and led us into this disgusting house. Now, Paul was a very interesting character. He had a passion for something in this world that most people do not have. And in fact, his house was a shrine, a temple to his one solitary love, which was above all things, Elvis Presley. You could see that Paul loved Elvis. His house, from floor to ceiling, every surface was covered in something that had to do with Elvis. You even go into the bathroom and Elvis is staring at you everywhere. You could see it in his sideburns, which were very Elvis-esque, and his slicked back hair. He even named his son Elvis Aaron Presley McLeod. But what you don't know is that he loved Elvis Presley so much that he divorced 2 wives because they wouldn't support his obsession. It had taken a toll on his health, and he was poor outside of giving $5 tours to local college students from Ole Miss and Mississippi State. My friends and I look back on this experience and we say, that man was an eccentric. He's crazy. He's off his rocker. Who would love something in this world so much that they would let their life go to waste? But the fact of the matter is that if we really think about Paul McLeod and his obsession, we notice too that we have obsessions in this world that dominate our lives and rule us to the point that we will give everything for them. It may not be as focused as Elvis Presley. It may not be as devoted outwardly, but there are things in this world that rule us, that shape us, that we love with a passion that cannot be quenched. And God knows this. Our Lord knows this about us. So he inspired John to write the words in verse 15, "Do not love the world or the things in the world." It's a very clear-cut expression that we should not love the things in this world or the world itself. And he gives us 3 reasons why this is the case. The first is simply this. Do not love the world because a love for the world displaces a love for the Father. A love for the world displaces a love for the Father. Read with me the second part of verse 15. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. John's telling us that it's either or. There's a love for the Father that you're going to have, or there's going to be a love for the world. There's no middle path where you can kind of tread between the two. Your heart is a vessel, and it's either filled with a love for God or a love for things in this world. There is no third way Christianity. Some might call it carnal Christianity, but there is no such thing according to the Apostle John. And my friends, this is exactly what Jesus teaches us, is it not? In his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Either you have a love for God that radiates your entire being, or you have a love for something that is not God. There is no middle ground according to John and according to Jesus. Now, you may object and say, well, I do split my schedule, don't I? I go to church on Sunday. I devote myself to the Lord on the Lord's day. And the rest of the days of the week, I perform my duties to the world. You know, I love my duties to the world and I love my God, and so I split my time between the two. But my friends, you need to know that our God is not an occasional God. He never ceases to be your God. When he ceases to be your God, you can then serve something else. But the fact of the matter is that he never ceases to be your God, and therefore you owe him all things, all love, all devotion. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So John gives us this either or. Love the world or love the Father. You can't do both. So my friends, do not love the world. For a love for the world displaces a love for the Father. Now you may say, I don't love the world. I love God. I devote myself wholly to him. I love the Lord and do not love the world or the things of the world. But my friends, if we keep things in the realms of the generalities and not hone into the particulars, then we might be able to convince ourselves of such things. But John doesn't leave us there. John doesn't leave us in the abstract, but he actually hones down on our heart's desires and the particulars. So secondly, I want to see that we should not love the world because a love for the world means taking delight in lesser things. Ultimate delight in lesser things is what happens when we love the world over the love of the Father. And John gives three particulars, three categories. The first is this, and we see this in verse 16. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, we'll stop there. The desires of the flesh. This isn't what Paul talks about when he's talking about the flesh, something that's corrupted in sin, a sinful nature that's being brought forward. No, John is speaking of physicality. The fact that you are flesh and blood means that you have particular needs. That there is something about you that needs food. It needs rest, shelter, clothing. That's what flesh is here, the physical needs. Now, those things are not bad. The things of the flesh, in John's sense, are not bad. We love food. Food is a blessing from the Lord. Our houses, they're wonderful things. We need all of these things. But the intemperate use of our needs, that's the danger. I've already mentioned food. I love food. If you get on my Facebook account or look on my Instagram account, you will see pictures of food. Why? Because I love food. Steak, asparagus, garlic mashed potatoes, all of these things are wonderful for me. But the thing is, if I constantly think about that and I drain my bank account on delicacies that fill up my mouth, my friends, I'm at loss. I have some friends who obsess over exercise. I don't know why they do that. But they obsess over themselves and their health. And though exercise is a good thing, it's good to keep up your body. Because we devote ourselves so much to keeping up our body, we can often turn ourselves into our own God. But secondly, we see not just the desires of the flesh, but the desires of the eyes. These are wants, not necessarily our needs, but our wants, the beautiful and appealing things in this world. God has blessed us with beautiful things, and I think they should be appreciated. He has given us beautiful things that we can gaze at, to know that there is something greater and more beautiful than the things in this world. But beautiful things in this world can often capture our thoughts and our hearts and keep us bound to them and keep us looking upon them and not their Creator. I can think of many flashy things that we have in today's society. Have you seen the solid gold Apple Watch? I think it's a beautiful thing. I'm a car guy, so when I see a Ferrari or a Lamborghini, my mouth drops. It's beautiful, the Italian curves passing by me with the roar of a 500 horsepower engine. Those things really get to me. I'm in Savannah, Georgia, and in one of the most beautiful churches here. All of these things can be appreciated, but they can often capture us, hold us down, and keep us from looking to the God who has created beauty itself. These are the desires of the eyes. But thirdly, we have the pride in life, or the pride in possessions. Now, these things are the things that we have that have our lifestyle in mind, our ambitions, our possessions even. Some translations say pride in possessions and not pride in life, and I think that's very accurate. My friends, possessions can become our obsessions. If I had a Ferrari, I would want to be known as that guy who had the Ferrari. I would want that sports car to rule and be my identity marker. Oh, here comes Kyle. Here he rides. See that Ferrari? He must be doing well. My friends, if we put pride in possessions, these things are at loss because they're lesser delights. They're not ultimate, and they will pass away. But let's think for a moment on how God fulfills our needs, our wants, and our haves. You know, this is the direct opposite of the dangers of the desires of the eyes, of the flesh, and of life. Think of how God meets all of our needs, all of our wants, and all of our haves in Jesus Christ. We need redemption. We have effaced God's law and transgressed Him. We have sinned against Him and deserve His justice and His wrath. But He sends forth Christ that we might be reconciled to Him, that we might grow and be nurtured in Him and be brought into His family forever. Christ fulfills our need for forgiveness and redemption. That is our ultimate need. Not food, not exercise, but Christ for redemption. God sends forth Christ to show us what beauty really is. Christ will usher us into a kingdom that's more beautiful than any place on this earth. We can't fathom what glory will be like. In fact, we ourselves will be beautiful. We will be pure and holy, perfect, finally and forever. But what's going to be even more beautiful is Christ Himself. I love what the 17th century Scottish Presbyterian Samuel Rutherford once wrote. The bride, it's the church, the bride does not eye her garments, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not gaze at glory, but on my King of grace. Not at the crown He giveth, but on His pierced hands. The Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. My friends, Christ Himself is the most consummate, beautiful thing in all of creation, because He has come from God Himself and is God Himself and will fill this world when He comes again with the beauty of glory when He makes all things new. But thirdly, Christ is a possession worth boasting in. If we have Christ, we should be telling others and wanting our identity to be tied to Him, to where when people see us, they say, wow, Christ is magnificent. Christ has really changed them. Our talk should be about our Christ, not about our houses, not about our cars, not about our accolades. It should be about our Savior. He is the one who should control our identity, and it's the only possession that we have that is worthy of such things. My friends, all of these offerings that God gives are ultimately satisfactory. Don't look to the world for those things, because it will only let you down. But my friends, know this, do not love the world, because a love for the world is to take delight in lesser things. So we've seen that to love the world is to displace a love for the Father. We've also seen that a love for the world means taking ultimate delight in lesser pleasures if we do not look to God and to Christ, His offering to us. But thirdly and finally, I want to see that we should not love the world, because a love for the world is a love for things that are passing away. Verse 17. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. My friends, if you love your house, know this, one day it will not stand. If you have an inordinate love and compassion for your ambitions and for your place in this society and in this community, know that in a few hundred years you will not be remembered. My friends, if you have awards that you're really proud of, trophies that you put on display in your house, know this, they will crumble. Friends, all of these things are passing away. The Ferrari that I would love to have, I might wreck it. It might rust out. It will not last. So my friends, do not love the world, because if you love these things and the things of the world, you will ultimately not have something that will last. But if you go to God, if you're in Christ, who is God and man and Savior and Lord forever, and you do His will, you will last. If you come to Him with a heart that desires to take in all of His benefits, and you repent of your sins, my friends, those things can be yours. His benefits, His righteousness, His forgiveness. The reconciliation between you and the God whom you have offended. Those things will never pass away. Again, our Lord speaks to this in His Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. My friends, where is your treasure? Is it in heaven? Is it imperishable? Is it Christ Himself who will never fail you? Or is it in material possessions? Is it in ambitions that you may or may not ever achieve? And once you achieve them, they will be forgotten in your death. My friends, I bid you, do not love the world, because the love for the world is a love for things that are passing away. Paul McLeod died last year. This ardent Elvis lover was defending his possessions when someone was breaking in, shot a man. And the next day, his heart gave out because of all of the trauma. They found him dead on his rocking chair on his front porch. Right now, Paul McLeod doesn't care one bit about Elvis. May we never find ourselves to be like Paul McLeod, lusting and yearning after something in this world that can never satisfy, with Christ right in front of us, the one who can satisfy fully all of our needs, our wants. It is the one possession who can control and be our identity for now and forever. May we never store up treasures on this earth where moth and rust destroy, but may we find our supreme treasure in Christ. Let us pray together. Our God, make us love you more. May we see what is actually going on around us, that the things of this world are passing away, but you, your will, and your Son will never cease to be. Keep our eyes to Jesus. May we look to Him where He is seated, our eyes on things above, that we will never, ever be disappointed. May we come to Him by faith and in love, and in service to Him, devote ourselves to You. Father, may we enjoy the good gifts that we have now, whether they be needs or beautiful things or things which we have. We ask that You would even bless the gift of food as we are about to partake. May we through it give glory to You, knowing that You are the giver of every good and perfect gift. We give thanks and ask that You would bless our meal now. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.